Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Hello, welcome to Living Life Powerfully. Today we're asking just one simple, powerful question, and that is, what does it mean to be your best? We live in such a hectic and sometimes chaotic world. Sometimes there's more chaos than we'd like. And on any given day, when you turn on the television or watch the news or read a newspaper, you're bombarded with all sorts of disasters, right, and drama, you know. But on the other hand, we also see so many rags-to-riches stories of people living the American dream. And we're taught that if we work hard and we remain dedicated to whatever it is that we're doing that we believe in ourselves, that we can create a very powerful, successful, happy life in America. And it's all tied to this idea of doing your best. We can have anything we want if we just do our best and work hard at it. And most of us grow up believing that. At least if you're in America, you do. We grow up believing that if we strive for this success, for whatever success means to us, that this will lead us to happiness. And this measure of success becomes what we see on television, what our parents tell us, what we see on the news. And so we develop, many of us, a relationship with success and a quest and a driving nature to achieve it. And it's all tied to this notion of doing your best. So what does it mean to be your best or to do your best? What does that mean? And does the idea of being your best cause you any stress or liberation? Are you going to say something, Raj?
Perletta, I just want to say, you know, you've mentioned two main things here. What is doing your best and the word success. And I believe that the context with which, you know, I'm approaching this today is that has nothing, one has nothing to do with the other, that the success, it has nothing to do with you being your best. So I think those two words are... they shouldn't be in the same sentence, according to me.
Well, I love what you're saying. However, I think many people do collapse them. That's the point. That we
yep.
believe if we do our best, we're going to be successful. And
mm-hmm.
and that's so the question is, what is the perception that we have about being your best and it equating to success? So what do you think about that? Why do you think that they're so separate, Raj?
Because I believe that it's difficult. How do you really know that you're doing your best? It's just basically a judgment. And the best, like being your best or doing your best, it doesn't work in reverse. Like if you put it to your past and you look from now, like if I look at what I did a year ago, I don't believe that from this vantage point that I did my best back then, because now my awareness has changed. So being your best, it doesn't work, you know, when we look back in the past, and it doesn't work when we look in the future, because we don't know what we're going to learn in the future. So that being your best is a very present now thing, where success is something that's in the future. It's like a goal. It's like something that we're trying to achieve. And like now I'm successful. So that's why I believe that those two words cannot really, that concept of success and that concept of being your best cannot go in the same sentence.
I think that oftentimes when they go in the same sentence, we create a lot of stress. I know I've done that because I have collapsed those two. And I don't think that I'm alone. We're bombarded, as I said, with this idea of becoming successful. We have magazines written about it. Actually, Donald Trump is talking about it right now in his presidential run, right? That I'm so successful, that means I can run the country. And this idea that being your best is something that we should shoot for 100% of the time can be a trap, because of what you're mentioning, because we're oftentimes not in the present moment of experiencing, but we're measuring ourselves either against the past and feeling sometimes inadequate, or we're measuring ourselves against others and feeling like we're not as successful. And we equate our best sometimes in comparison to some imagined goal or some other person. And when we do that, we not only create stress, we create unhappiness in ourselves, right? There's also, I think, we have to improve and we got to keep moving, and it has to, on some level, be a desire for more, right? A bigger house, a happier career, more wealth, greater education. All of this desires for more and more and more can also create stress if you're not balanced. I know I was, in preparing for the show, I was thinking about this topic, and I was having a conversation with a colleague the other day, and she said that her partner surrounds himself with super successful, that was her word, super successful. So successful wasn't enough. It had to be super successful, right? So that's like even more successful than the average successful person, which I thought was hilarious. But
so super best, super successful.
Right. Even more, right? More. Yeah. More. We're never quite satisfied. It has to be super. Anyway, so
right.
She said he surrounded himself by super successful people. And I asked her, well, what does that mean? What does super successful people mean? And she said two things. She said his friends are financially wealthy. So that was the measure for her. And she said that each of his friends have achieved a high level of accomplishment in his or her career. And I said, oh, you know, thank you for defining what success means, because in your eyes, because success and being your best means something different for every person. Right. And in another conversation I had with a lawyer friend, like that same day, because I was preparing again, and I said, and the person said, I'm so busy, I have to schedule time with my adult children. This was, and he's like, you know, it doesn't make sense that, you know, all of my friends, we're all successful, and yet we don't have time for just meeting with our kids and having dinner. And this is a lawyer friend, as I mentioned, but also a businessman, and he went on to talk about how the very simple pleasures of life, like, you know, taking a walk, going on vacation, he just simply didn't have time because he was so busy being successful. And it occurred to me that it's what you're talking about, that we in some ways have a very distorted view of what being our best is and what being successful is. Because it's like wherever we are, it's never quite enough. And not only is that just stressful in terms of our thinking about it, but it can actually cause disharmony in how we live our lives, because we're never quite satisfied in who we are. Right? So this constant thriving, I don't think, is necessarily healthy.
Well, the other thing I've seen, Perletta, is, you know, when in this whole a process of being your best, I've seen people hide behind that. Like, well, I did my best. Like they mm-hmm. give up their accountability and responsibility by saying, well, I did my very best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so what is your best? You can hide behind it. There was a couple, okay, and she complained about her spouse, and she said that he never apologizes. You know, as therapy continued, what we came to find out is that in growing up, his parents always told him, be your best at all times, you know, just do your best, and then there's nothing you have to worry about. And so he grew up with this notion that he's always his best and that there's nothing that he needs to do, that he never needs to apologize to anybody. He never needs to look at himself in an accountable way. So I think that, you know, we have to be careful. We can cross the line when we're being our best, because I think it can be more egoic, sort of. And mm-hmm. and just to temper it, just to balance that being your best with humility as well. I mean, always knowing that we have that vulnerability inside of us. So, Perletta, what you're talking about, this comparison that we do, I think, you know, the comparison to other people, but also the comparison that we do with ourselves. We don't give ourselves credit for progressing or for doing anything, you know, like we don't give ourselves any space.
I think two things that are centrally important in this conversation. One is to be aware of how you define your own experience. Because we can define it in ways that's limiting, and we can define it in ways that's self-supporting and self-loving. And the other is to always look for the growth-oriented aspect of who we're being. So, you know, in this conversation, there's a way to strive towards excellence in doing your best that's healthy. And there's a way to do it that's unhealthy. And you use the word balance, which is a perfect word. There's a way to be balanced in this conversation about what is your best. Like, when we work towards evolving who we are and we're striving to do better, and it's coming from a heartfelt place to achieve our own personal sense of satisfaction, that can be stressful at times. However, it can be a healthy stress because it's moderated by our sense of self-satisfaction, our internal motivation, and our self-acceptance and love. But when we're doing it from a place of, like you say, an ego-based sense of it, like, I want to be super successful, I want to be better than other people, I want my house to be bigger because that's the measure of my success. The measure is not my own internal sense of motivation and satisfaction, but it's some external expectation of how I want to feel about myself. That's when we tend to get in trouble, right? When we're seeking to achieve because we're feeding our ego with either a desire to compete or to not feel shame or game or guilt or any of those types of things, when we're trying to keep up with others, then it's really not our best. We're out of balance and we're unhealthy in the conversation, whether we're having a verbal conversation or a conversation in our head. So this idea of what does being your best really mean is the crux, obviously, of the topic of the show, but it doesn't have to be hard. That's like one of the things it means. It doesn't have to be hard, and it doesn't have to mean perfection 100% of the time. Quite often we collapse being our best with the idea of being perfect. And there is no such thing. Because as you mentioned, in the moment, our best is all it is. But when we look at ourselves retrospectively and we go, wow, I could have done a better job, then we're not just judging and critiquing ourselves, but we get to then feel bad about what our best was when we were in the moment. Because it wasn't.
Yeah, because then in the moment we're not doing our best. And you know what's so funny, Perletta, I want to mention here that I think what is more challenging is to look at that being your best. But if we think we're being our best, how come we don't think other people are being their best? A lot of times we'll be like, well, that, you know, that person needs to change. That person needs to do this. That person needs to do that. Yet we're being our best. That is not our best. Right? If we're doing our best, I always say that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you think you're stupid or whether you think you're smart. It really doesn't matter, because what matters is if you think everybody else is stupid too or everybody else is smart too. So the same here. If you feel like you're doing your best, you got to make sure that you realize that other people are also doing their best.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. The head on the nail.
Whatever. I hit the target.
is really being conscious of who you're being while you're seeking to be your best. It's who you're being in the process. And being balanced in that pursuit is one of the primary goals. There's an author by the name of Deborah Adele who once said, one of the biggest challenges to maintaining balance is feeling powerless. Powerless can be traced to a negative story we're telling ourselves in the moment about a situation. So here's an example that is a very poignant and real reminder for me about this idea of being best, my best, and how it can be unhealthy. I tend to work really hard, quote unquote. You know, I bought into the Protestant work ethic in America. And I put everything into what I'm doing. And so when I went to law school, I did that. I quit work to go to law school. I completed it in the 3 years. I was the first in my family to go to law school, certainly beaten actually to go to graduate from college before then. And during my, or actually after my my law school graduation, my parents had a little party for me at their house. And I went in the bathroom, and I was so embarrassed to face people. I went in the bathroom, and I started crying because I felt like a failure, because I didn't graduate with honors. I was so close, but I didn't make it. And in that moment, I felt horrible. I had not done my best, in my opinion, because I didn't achieve my goal. And instead of feeling good about my accomplishment that day, and for some time afterwards, it took me a while to process, I felt like a failure. And my family was out, you know, my brother came to the bathroom like, "You are tripping," is what he said. "Why are you acting crazy?" And I was like, "I'm not acting crazy. I feel horrible. Leave me alone." You know, I created all this drama around that accomplishment and the experience because I was imbalanced, right? I had this goal. I didn't need it. And it didn't matter that I was the first in my family and that I graduated and that, you know, many people don't. But it didn't matter. What mattered was I was in a story about who I was that was a very negative story, and it was unhealthy. And I felt powerless because that story I was telling myself, I believed. And so we all have the power and the ability to change our story. I eventually, by the way, did change the story. And upon reflection, I looked at how what I was telling myself to defeat my own self, actually. And I reevaluated who I was being, and I grew from that experience. And one of the things that I think people can take away, that I took away, was to be way more conscious when we're feeling bad about something. You know, if we feel like we didn't meet our goal, or, you know, focusing on the goal and to focus on the thoughts that we're, and the feelings that we're experiencing, and to try to grow and learn from those.
Miguel, then, you know, Pernetta, being your best, that, again, you know, it only works in the now. So in the now, like, we're always, at any given moment, we have infinite possibilities, infinite choices of what we can do. And we end up picking one based on our awareness in that moment. And later on, we may think, well, I also could have done that. And I've done that before. It's like I'll be talking to somebody and afterwards I'll think, well, why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say this? I should have said this. But in that moment, I chose what was in front of me, what came to me, what was within my awareness at the moment. So that this being your best, it means nothing more than you're present in the now moment and you're selecting something based on an awareness. It does not work when you're reflecting. If you have to think all these things, if you have to be a certain way, or it's to me, it's just a very simple, it's just a choice you make in any given moment. And the moment that minute passes, it will not be your best anymore. It was your best in that moment. That's it. Well, never so works for the past.
There are two pieces that I think are really poignant. And the first is that when we feel that sense of powerlessness, that we're not measuring up to our goal, or our sense of what our best is, we can see that as an opportunity to grow, right? Wherever we are in life, we can see the challenge that we're experiencing as an opportunity to grow. And the next is what you're speaking to. And Miguel Ruiz, a Mexican author, put it this way. He said, always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Simply do your best, and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret, end quote. And I love that because that's what I was doing in the bathroom, right? I was
judging myself. I was actually abusing myself, and I was feeling regretful because I was not in the moment. That moment to moment of, did I do my best every moment when I was in law school? Absolutely. Absolutely. But when I was judging and abusing myself, no, I fell short. And many of us do that in our daily walk in life. And we're not conscious of it. That's the main thing. We're not aware that we believe the story we're telling ourselves. And there's power in disputing the story, recognizing we're in a story, and then disputing the story and relieving ourselves from our judgment and our own abuse of ourselves. So being your best is not some static process, right? It doesn't involve comparison or jealousy or, you know, feeling bad about your circumstances. Rather, it simply means giving yourself your full attention and intention to what you're doing in the moment. And most importantly, how you're being, right, while you're doing what you're doing. That's it.
Yeah,
you
know, I love
what,
you know, Town Van Zandt, I love what he said. He says, I don't think you can ever do your best. Doing your best is a process of trying to do your best. That's it. That's what we're shooting for. But in that moment, it's like, again, it's either you're doing and you're being or you're not. And so any judgment that comes into that process, it means you're probably looking somewhere in the past. And if you look in this moment, it's not your best because you're judging something. And this moment now is gone. This moment now is you're not doing your best because the choice that you've made is to judge something from something that you've already done. It's a really cool process. You know, it's, again, it always gets to, for me, it always gets back to, are you being present to what is? Are you being appropriate in this moment? Are you present to what is? Or are you somewhere else? Are you somewhere in the future? Are you somewhere in the past? Where are you?
Or are you somewhere in your mind judging yourself as being inadequate? Right? Or, yeah, exactly.
But that,
I love
that's got to be something from the past, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because in the now, there's only the here.
One of the things I want to bring up is I'm a Jimmy Carter fan, and he's been on the news recently because he disclosed that he was diagnosed with cancer. But he's also been in the news recently because he released a new book. It's called A Full Life, Reflections at 90. It was released earlier this year. He's been on a book tour and talking about his life. You know, he's 90 years old, and so how has my life been according to himself, which is, I think, very significant and relevant to this conversation. And many people might see this president as having been successful, quote-unquote, right? He was the president of the, quote-unquote, greatest country, not that, you know, if you believe that, greatest country on the planet. And he was a farmer, business owner, governor. He was a military man, a book about who he was as a person. But he achieved, you know, the height of the game, at least of politics in this country. And since he has been Jimmy Carter Foundation, he does all sorts of work around the world. So he's at the top of his game, some would say. And in his book, he talked about how he never lived up to his father's expectations of him, which was quite fascinating. Because with all of that quote-unquote success, you know, his measure on some level was based upon not his eyes, but his father's eyes. And he also talked about how he felt unsure about various jobs or positions he felt that he held. You know, he talked about the humanity of it, which was really helpful because sometimes when we look at people who may have achieved, you know, whatever level of success in the world, we go, oh, I'd like to be like him or her. And sometimes we create a story about what we think that means. And so it was so beautiful to have the president talk about his humanity, you know, that he wasn't always sure, that he relied on his faith in God, which he talked about quite significantly, was a missionary, to help him during the times when he felt unsure about himself, and that throughout his life he was plagued with whether his father would approve of him. And, you know, but that he maintained a commitment
to always trying to be like a decent person and allowing his integrity to guide him through his decision-making. And he gave a couple of examples, and I'm just going to share one, of one of the challenges that he had during his presidency. He had many, but he talked about how telling the truth to the American people was one of his challenges, and that, you know, he had faced an energy crisis, a down economy, opposition from Congress, the revolution that in Iran that led to American hostages being held captive for 444 days, you know, that people may judge his presidency in a negative way because they disagree with how he handled things. But one of the things that he held on to was the idea that he was always going to tell the truth. He was going to do his best as he understood it to be at the time. And it was so significant because people do judge his presidency harshly. Not everyone, but many of the commentators and historians I've read have actually done that very thing. And yet in the book he talked about how he felt personally, like, I've had a good life. These are the principles and morals that have guided me, you know, being honest, having integrity, doing my best in the moment. And he said, acknowledged that in the book, that he did his best, although he admitted struggling with the idea that he never measured up. And it was like, he's human. We all have our version of it. And this person that I look to as having been at the top of his game, it's like, I'm human. This is a part of the human struggle. And at 90 years old, I'm just going to tell you, it's okay, right? That however people perceive his legacy, what's most important is whether he, according to him, by the way, whether he tried to do good. That was his main, I want to do good in the world. I want to bring peace in the world. And he has continued that work after he left the presidency through the Carter Foundation to do good and humanitarian work. It's one of the guiding principles for him. And I'm very much impressed by how he spoke of his faith in God and his commitment to his principles. When he achieved, received the Nobel Peace Prize, he quoted his high school teacher, Miss Julia Coleman, who used to say that we must adjust to changing times and still hold to unchanging principles. Those words helped to encourage him throughout his career, and they provide, I think, really significant insight to us that at any given moment, as you mentioned, Raj, we can do our best and be okay with that. But what's most important is that we adjust to the changing times and we hold true to our principles, right, our unchanging principles. And what does that mean when it comes to doing our best? It's getting clear about what that means. And in the ways that you hold on to the idea that being your best is limiting, to let those ideas go and to choose something that's going to be empowering to you and how you live your life. And one of those might be living in the moment and doing your best in the moment and not judging yourself. Raj,
I have to get that book. It sounds wonderful. I've had great respect for President Carter. Always.
I've heard a lot about him. One of the things I believe now, when it certainly comes to leaders or people that sometimes we look up to having achieved whatever we think that they've achieved in their lives, and one of them is we can look to all of their accomplishments for guidance, mm-hmm. but we can also look to their perceptions of their quote-unquote failures and what did they learn. Because I think one of the most significant things that can be helpful is what they learned and how they grew from the challenges that they faced. And he talks about a number of those in the book. It's excellent. So I do recommend it. We put so much pressure on ourselves when we're seeking to achieve, right? And that's okay on some level. What we want to leave our listeners with today is this idea that do no harm, right? To be present in the moment and to focus on doing no harm and to follow your internal sense of what's right for you. Thank you for joining us today on Living Life Powerfully. You may reach us at pearlrodsradio@gmail.com and make sure to like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully, for our latest updates. Stay true to yourself and stay empowered.
Have a wonderful week.